Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life, a podcast where I talk to millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. Today on the podcast, I talk to DJ Mahoney. DJ was a friend of mine from college who I hadn't seen in a while before talking to him, so it was great to catch up with him on the mics. We will get to that conversation that we had in just a bit. But first, I wanted to quickly talk about last week's episode. I appreciate some of the positive feedback that I have received from my peers about my opinion, the opinion that I expressed on some incidents that occurred at my college involving political correctness. And I just want to say, you know, I was nervous about doing it. I was nervous about saying Lexi's name. I was just nervous right then, saying it again. And, you know, I expressed my opinion about how most of the incidents I was going to discuss were public knowledge and written about by several other sources, so I didn't see why I couldn't say her name. But those didn't give an opinion, a dissenting opinion. But then I thought, well, if people can find out her name so easily, then why do I have to be the one to say it? People can just find out for themselves if they want to. Do I need to say it? But then I thought, I'm talking about her a lot, like specifically. Wouldn't it seem weird and passive-aggressive if I didn't say her name and just kept referring to her as her or she or the young woman? And then I also thought, this is going to get back to her anyway, and knowing her, she's gonna comment on my post, my Facebook post, and out herself anyway, which she did. But I did tag her in my Facebook post because, like I said, I wanted to be upfront. So that's probably why she responded. Maybe she wouldn't have if I didn't. But yes, as you could tell, I felt weird about it. But at the end of the day, I thought it was okay because I wasn't being disrespectful, or at least I don't think that I was. But like I said, she commented on the post, and she Facebook messaged me, and we had a civil conversation, and she asked me why I found those incidents, or why I found her in general newsworthy. And I thought about that beforehand. I thought, does this really matter? Does anyone from my school even care about these incidents anymore, or at least as much as I do or did? They may not, but there's something about the whole thing that just stuck with me. And I responded to her question, and I said, as I said in my podcast, I felt as if it was important to talk about because it is my opinion that the manner in which she expressed her disagreement about what occurred represents a way in which a significant amount of people from my generation or from our generation express their disagreement on social media, which I don't think is effective or appropriate. And I think she understood that and saw that I was attempting to be respectful, and she said that I was entitled to my opinion, which was very, which was cool of her. And I asked her if she wanted to come on the podcast and talk about everything, and she agreed to. She said she would. So the reason as to why I did that paid off. It's all I wanted. So I'm looking forward to that. So if you were at all interested in what I talked about on the last episode, that interview, as of now, will be happening. But anyway, today's interview, my conversation with DJ Mahoney. Dennis Joseph Mahoney, who was 2 years ahead of me in college, so he was a junior when I was a senior, or a junior when I was a freshman, and was in the same fraternity as me, and, you know, was involved in a lot of the same similar stuff as me, and he was a good friend with some of the past guests that have been on the show, Ben Cloutier, Anthony Minniti, Luca Oliveira, and, you know, some people may be thinking, what's with this involved stuff? Some people may be thinking, I have these guys on my podcast. Do I have them on because they were in my fraternity? Am I favoring them, or do I like them only because they are in my fraternity? Is it some superficial thing? maybe I'm just projecting that people would think that, but you know, really the fact that we are involved in the same things doesn't matter. It's the reason why we were involved in the same things. You know, me liking them isn't a product of them being in my fraternity. My decision in attempting to join the fraternity that they were in was a product of me taking a liking to them and wanting to be better friends with them. Does that make sense, how those things are different? I sought to be their friends before I sought to be in the fraternity. And the reason as to why I sought to have a friendship or relationship with DJ, similar to the reason as to why I was drawn to those other guys, was because he was one of those people in college for me that I've talked about before on the podcast. Someone who through spending time with, I began to identify with. And, you know, that may sound like I'm over-dramatizing or romanticizing something that could be just summed up to why two guys become friends. But, you know, I'm talking more so as someone who was younger than those guys, as someone who, before college, never really thought deeply about, you know, who am I? You know, what's my code? Who are my people? What's really important to me? And I talk about that a little with DJ, and I've said it on the podcast before, but I think college is, or at least was for me, where someone starts to build that foundation. I've said this before, and a way in which I built the foundation was by spending time with people who were older than me, like DJ, who were a bit further along than me in the process of attempting to figure those things out. And you identify traits in those people that you maybe hope to have one day, or that you think you may have, but in them, since they've had more experience or more experiences, they may be a little more fully formed, those traits. And what I identified in DJ was someone who was kind and who genuinely cared about the well-being of the people in his life. Someone who, when problems arose, was able to rationally and thoughtfully consider the entire spectrum of a situation in a calm and unemotional way. And someone who was just fun to be around. So it was great to catch up with him after not seeing him for a while, over a year. So this is the conversation I had with DJ Mahoney. Wait, what do you mean you told them you weren't working?
I said to you, you were like, oh, what are you doing Friday?
Oh, well,
I was like,
yeah,
I'm off.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so you want to do it at 5? I was like, yeah, I guess that's the only time that it would work. So.
Well, yeah, it was just because the construction people are here till 4 every day, and they make a racket with their banging
and
their power tools and their other things that I don't know words for. Oh,
other
God.
Things.
Deej, I miss you, man.
I miss you, too.
Dude, to be honest, when you walked right in here, I was like, oh, I saw him a week ago in the CAF at Quinnipiac. So it wasn't like, oh my God, I just haven't seen you in so long. It felt like it was just yesterday in a way, but in a way, I guess it doesn't.
It does feel like it hasn't been a long time. And then you think about it and you're like,
wow, lots happened since then.
I just read something and it was like, you know, when you think 10 years ago, you're like, oh yeah, the 90s. Like we just like skip.
That was Friends.
Time, yeah.
That's so long ago.
Very long
ago. The 90s was 15 years ago. I was 7, right?
Well, I guess depending on what year, when the 90s ended, you were 7?
Yeah, well, 99, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, how is Jersey? Are you liking it?
So I just work in Mahwah, the northernmost.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that's all I've seen of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm looking to move either like Westchester area or northern New Jersey, but like I know nothing about places around here, and I'm lucky enough where I don't have to make the jump right now and find a place right away.
Yeah, it's only 30 minutes, right, you said?
Yeah, like 30, 35.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember you were like, where's a good place for young professionals in the Jersey area? And I was like, Hoboken?
Far away from here.
Far away from Ramapo. Yeah. I didn't even know that was in Mahwah, but does it seem to be what you expected it to be aesthetically, I guess, the way it looks? Are you surprised that
it's... state we're talking?
Does it have... Yeah. Does it have a smell, a putrid smell that is usually associated with Jersey?
Yes, we're going there. No, it hasn't seemed as dirty as other people might have once said.
All right, I was just trying to get that out of you from a not New Jersey person.
Yeah, yeah,
to,
yeah. I admit it, not too dirty.
Yeah, but it's going well.
Yeah, yeah. So far, so good. I'm happy to be working.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that for sure.
Okay.
So wait, you're commuting from where in New York? What town in New York?
I live in Goshen, New York, which is in Orange County.
Oh yeah. Is that where you hailed from since your birth?
Yes.
Yeah.
From what I've learned, like a few years ago, actually, I lived somewhere else until I was two.
Yeah.
But
I guess I don't count that. Yeah.
So yeah, born and raised.
What was that like? What was that place like?
It was, you know, like the towns, and maybe you felt the same way growing up, but like, you're like, oh, there's nothing to do in my town. And it's basically like, one, because I'm 12, and two, because I don't live in New York City. Like, that's what my thought was. Like, oh, there's nothing to do here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was cool. I live next door to the town park. So I played like soccer and t-ball on their respective seasons.
It's the first time the word t-ball has been used in an interview.
Really? Surprising. I feel like more people played it than just me.
Just doesn't get
probably for longer than me too. Yeah, so I just got to, you know, run through the woods next door to the park. It was cool. I also went to Catholic school growing up.
Yeah.
And both my grammar school, which is first through eighth, and high school were in my town too.
So that's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of everything, like a 3-minute, 5-minute drive everywhere. It's a pretty cool small town, all like mom and pop shops.
Yeah.
Which I like. They're like chains are around the perimeter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I like that they're far away because I'm not a big chain restaurant person.
Mm, why not?
Meaning
Olive Garden?
Yeah. And by chain restaurants, I mean we have one Burger King.
Yeah.
And I actually ate there very frequently as a kid.
Oh, wow.
So I think I've like... I've people are still myself. Catching up to eat as much as I have eaten.
Mm, done with there. It now. I haven't had fast food and cheese. I don't even know, which is upsetting. I should go have a Big Mac.
If you want. I mean, don't just have it just to fill a quota.
Well, that's good. Thanks for that advice, Steve.
Yeah, of course.
So how did the family end up there? Do you know? What does that area represent? Was it just a place that was close to work for your parents?
No.
Because like I'm saying, because my dad grew up here and lived here his whole life, as well as his mom. So like, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, no, my parents, my mom born and raised in the Bronx.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in Pelham. And then my dad kind of, he says he moved around a lot, but then when he talks about stories, like he lived in the same town for like 12 years.
I love that. It's the parents or the people who like tell a lot of stories to make it seem like they experience things in life when in reality. That's like what do I associate that with? Oh, parents who have been with each other since like high school, they'll be like, no, we dated other people. But like in reality, they didn't at all.
Yeah, no. I think his parents moved around a lot.
Yeah.
But so he grew up in Croton, which is in Westchester.
Oh, yeah.
They met in Westchester at Pace University.
Oh.
My mom was an undergrad. My dad was in law school.
Mm. Is he a lawyer now?
He is.
Wow.
He is.
How was that growing up with that? Someone who could just, who can litigate you.
Really couldn't get away with much. I had to develop a keen sense of lying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Convincing lying to get away with anything. It really came into play when I got my driver's permit.
How so?
And could start going on the road because I think a lawyer is one of those professions like, oh, you're a lawyer. Okay. And like, I never asked my dad like what type of law he practiced until maybe like 4 months ago.
Oh my God.
Because people would ask me, be like, oh, like a little here, a little there. And like, it's just very, very different. But he did a lot of personal injury.
Mm-hmm.
law, mostly with the people who were injured, some cases with the people that were being defended.
Right.
And so I guess like me being in a car as the oldest child, he was like, I have seen this go wrong.
So many times. Well, that's better than some parents who haven't seen anything. So they're like just freaking out because they don't know at all what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah. I think growing up, I was annoyed that like the 9 o'clock in New York, there's like a 9 p.m. curfew.
Mm.
And like for me, it was like 8:50.
It was very strictly up.
Yeah.
For you.
I mean, obviously I'm in a different place now, but back then I was like, oh, this sucks. Like,
I didn't know in your town or just New York?
New York State. Well, cause I had like 1 year of having like a junior license.
Oh, I've heard of that.
So it's like no one in the car with you unless they're family.
Right.
9 p.m.
Yeah.
Curfew, all that. Unless you're coming from work. So that is the reason why I started working earlier. So that I could drive later at night.
What, during high school you worked?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I worked retail.
Oh, wow.
At an outlet mall.
I've worked retail. Wasn't the best. Parents, did we even answer that question?
Nope, we didn't get there.
Okay, it's okay.
So I think they decided that they wanted to be further upstate and like a suburb, like you want your kids to have a backyard and kind of all the things that
a swing
my parents didn't have growing up in the city, or I guess where my dad lived in Westchester, there wasn't really like a yard or anything like that. Yeah. So I think that was the reason why. And they were actually walking. I had mentioned earlier that I live next to a park, and they were walking in the park.
Yeah.
The day before I was born. Or 2 days before I was born, and saw that house, and they'd be like, wow, that'd be a really cool place to live.
Oh, wow.
And then 2 years later, in that 2 years where I don't know where I lived, they worked on getting
that
house.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's fate.
So I was part of the process.
Yeah.
Like the whole open house.
Maybe you being so close to being born changed your mom's chemical fabric to make her want to live there, so you had more of a say in it than you think you did. I just like that.
Maybe.
That seemed romantic
to
me.
It seems like it. And it makes it more my own. It. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, what else were your parents like besides your dad being able to detect your bullshit?
They both were. Like, if my dad was good at it, my mom like meddled in it. every level. They were awesome. They still are. Very much like a no bullshit type family.
Oh yeah, you could swear.
Cool. For those of you who can't see me, I just like mouth like, is that okay? Yeah, like no BS family, but like we're very much like whatever you want to do, like we support it. Like that's been the mindset of like we work very hard to like give you what we couldn't have. So so that was awesome. So like growing up, like, oh, I'm interested in like this sport or this activity. Mm. Cool, do it. Mm. But then like me just being me, like 2 months later, I'd be like, I don't like it anymore. Like,
that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the very typical parents
something else. Yeah. And since both my parents were working, it was kind of like we have to fill the time from school till pickup somehow. So I think that's how I got to try out a lot of different extracurriculars and like would go to other people's houses in the afternoon. But they're great. They're very big on family. So I think that was cool growing up, and not so much that like you need to be close to all of your relatives, but like your immediate family, like that.
This is a
bond
unit.
Is very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, what else was, I don't know if I ever talked to you about this. What else was high school DJ like?
High school DJ, so I was in a sling for 6 months of freshman year. So high school DJ was Sling Kid freshman year.
That's so...
Formerly known as Sling Kid.
Oh, that's yours, by the way.
Thanks.
That mug of water.
How nice.
Stav got me these mugs.
He's a thoughtful guy.
Mm, he is.
He is thoughtful. Moving on. So I went to Catholic high school and I was kind of like,
oh dear,
up at arms.
Rulers to hands?
No.
That's good.
But other rules in place that I didn't see the purpose of.
Like
so
what?
I would break the rules and like stick it to the man or so I thought I was doing.
You rebellious youth.
Yeah. So not only did we have uniforms, but we had uniform shoes, which I think weighed like 6 pounds each shoe. And part of it was for like no running in the halls, and like the other part was
oh
for,
wow, they tried to slow you down.
I think
purposely.
So.
That's
so there would be days clever. Where I would just wear black socks
instead of without shoes.
Without shoes, and just be like,
"Fuck it."
See, there's no point. There's no point. I got an education today without having
people
to wear
didn't
your damn
say
shoes.
Anything.
No.
Oh.
And there were like years that I would just wear all black sneakers.
Wow.
You're
really
yeah.
breaking the rules, dude.
Like, so I thought, and I was like, oh, like, don't tell anyone, but like, I'm doing this. Like, I'm the guy. And everyone else would be like, okay.
Now there's people in my high school snorting Percocets in the fucking bathroom.
I don't think we had that, or yeah. if it was in the other bathroom.
That didn't
maybe.
Happen while I was there, but
oh.
now I hear that that happens.
Thanks. That's a little...
Kids are fucking crazy
much.
Now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on that's causing... I already sound like the old guys. Like, what's wrong with kids? These? But like,
I think there needs to be an age
didn't happen.
Requirement for Snapchat. I think that's kind of where it starts.
It all goes together.
I really think so.
Right?
I think that when you can vote and get a lottery ticket is when you can start snapping people.
I can't do Snapchat, dude. It's too much of other people's lives.
Yeah.
I don't need to
Well, that's
know.
The thing is that people
I don't need to
feel
be,
that they
are connected with
can
everyone.
Put it all out and yeah, like be so connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, but it's opening people's eyes
mm-hmm.
to so many different things. And I've had like a I don't know, like a love hate with Snapchat where like so they used to do like this day where they'd go to a city in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like just showcase like traditions of that country or like that any like spiritual or religious affiliation, which like that was so cool. Like I got to see like ceremonies or parts of the world like I probably won't be able to go to
ever.
But then I also see when like I don't know, like people write weird things on the bathroom stall or like I don't
yeah,
know
yeah,
just
yeah.
like things that Super unfortunately shit. Fill my day too much. I've realized like I'm the
it's
consumer
hard.
Who tries
it's hard
to
because
watch
then
it
you have the people like Greg Hayes who like their Snapchat stories are like short films. Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah,
so
like really commits.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've had thoughts like, oh, that would be a really good Snapchat, but like I won't do it. But he goes for it.
Yeah.
And gets
the results.
Gets results.
My camera's broken now though, so I can only do the forward the reverse. So I just use that
so
as
you're
an
limited.
Excuse. I'm very limited.
Okay.
I have for any time on Instagram, I have to use pictures I've already had.
Nothing new.
Nothing new. No new
so you
pictures.
Only do it on Thursdays.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the yeah. new phone until the contract ends up.
Mm.
But do you still tweet? I was having this argument with Stav about how he was saying that Instagram is more relevant than Twitter now and that Twitter's fallen off. And I was like, I love Twitter.
Yeah, I do too. I do tweet.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that my timeline has really
do you follow mostly
non-narrowed
verified counts?
Because
I follow like any entertainment news outlet possible. I follow like all the actors and celebrities that I'm interested in their work. And they still all use it. Like it's still hopping for them.
Right.
It still seems like a thing in which like it's utilized for pop culture. But I still see like friends that I know who use it. But then you go to some people's Twitter, they haven't tweeted since like 2014. And it's like, oh, are people still up on this thing?
Yeah. I started Twitter being like, I am using this to connect with people I already know.
Right.
Or people that like I know through mutual friends or through a mutual like job or whatever. And then kind of realize like some people are very good at Twitter and some people aren't. And
yeah.
Gravitated towards people who were good. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
then I eventually like looked for other people who are just funny. And I now look at it as like a way to get information on mm-hmm. like entertainment or news yeah. or topics that I'm interested in. And I think the cool thing about Twitter, and this is where I see most people like use it, is like events that like right. create like a mutual like viewership, like
right.
award shows or sporting events
right.
or things like that. So I like that in the sense that like you understand like people's viewpoints and like mm-hmm. some people really take some good nuggets away from what they see. And
I see. And then you see some ignorance.
Yeah.
And who knew you could put out so much ignorance in just how many characters? What is it?
Right. Yeah. 140.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is not enough, but sometimes they can do a lot.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing with all these outlets is like anyone can.
It's the worst.
Anyone can use them.
Anyone. And it's kind of creating what I was listening to this podcast. I forget what it was, but they were talking about how it's creating this sense that there isn't any history now. There isn't any cultural history because the culture is now and everyone is able to be a part of the history. So then since there's so many people a part of it and so many outlets to see it through, by the next day, it's gone. It's not history anymore. It's just a thing that happened that we're not going to remember because everyone was a part of it. It's not like something like, oh, that happened over there, where it's like, oh, Leo gave that speech at the Oscar. I have no idea who that person is. I don't know what his life is. He's just a person I see on the movies. Now I see all his tweets all the time. We see pictures of him in the news. I know who that person is. There's no mystique. So it's like, oh, he's just that guy. I know him. Instead of like, that was the moment. That was the moment we saw him see his Oscar. No, we saw like memes up until that point. So like now the fact that he won his Oscar is just like, okay, now he has it and that's whatever. Now it's no big deal. The next day, he's on to the next day.
Yeah, he was outshined by the industry he's a part of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I just spat it off shit, but I don't know. Anyway.
Well, of course, you use Leo too.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot of the ignorance I saw. People were just like, oh, you ruined your speech because of the environmental thing. People have been doing political activism in their Oscar speeches since fucking way before. Marlon Brando, when he won his Oscar for The Godfather, he had a Native American woman go up and accept it as a, was actually a Native American actress, but she was like pretending to be like just a regular Native American. And she gave the speech saying that how Marlon Brando didn't accept the award because of the way that the entertainment industry kind of marginalizes and mistreats Native Americans. Like crazy shit like that has been going on. People get mad. Leo fucking talks about the environment, which is relevant to the movie that he was in.
To what he got the award for. Yeah.
It's just, oh God. I'm not going to say names. I'll tell you after. But okay. Talk shit after. Anyway, back to you. High school DJ. What more? What were you like?
Yeah, high school DJ, believe it or not, 3-sport athlete.
Yeah, wow.
For some years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think prior to high school, like that was the one way that like you could do something after school is like play a sport. And like
right.
my grammar school only had basketball. So I played basketball when I wasn't in a sling.
Mm-hmm.
Played soccer and ran track.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of all of a sudden decided like I don't like it enough to like continue on. Mm-hmm. And so for soccer and basketball, I was like on the junior varsity mm-hmm. team and like got pulled up for soccer my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And then was just like, I don't like this enough to like keep going and play more competitively and dedicate more time. And I was someone who liked the arts.
Yeah.
Was big into theater growing up. And so I gave the group in my high school a shot junior year. So I kind of like completely shifted over.
Right.
Did that. And then junior and senior year, I played travel volleyball as well.
Mm. I was that type of kid too, where it was like you did the sports and you did the artsy stuff. And I think I benefited from it because I got to see a full spectrum of people in high school and like kind of people who were more sporty and more athletic. It's not like there was, it's the classic high school thing where people who are jocks were like, completely mean and like bullies to like band people, but like they didn't spend time with them. They just kind of like, it wasn't their world. Like maybe behind their back be like, oh, that kid's weird. But like, it's not like they would shove him to lockers or anything, but it's just like, that was one world and the other world was the other world. So it was kind of like cool to be able to integrate into both of those. And I remember I was talking about this with my past guest, Chris Girardi, because he was in band and I sat next to him in band just my freshman year. And I was like, when I met him, I was like, are these my people? The sport people don't talk this way like this. And I kind of like this. Am I like a weird person? Like, and then, but you, it's a cool thing of, especially in high school, you have no idea who you are. Of just like, do you find that when you went in high school? Well, did you, besides the resume stuff, like,
yeah,
did you ever have the thought of like, who am I in high school? Like, or is that a college thing?
I definitely had that, you know, like question in my mind.
Because I don't even know if I thought of that.
Well,
I was like, I'm just Joe. Like, I don't even know if there was that much like internal deep thinking of like, what am I going to do? Like, what, or who am I? Or what does this all mean?
Yeah. I credit it to going to Catholic high school. Right. Like I eventually just saw that a lot of what I believe in like differs from what I was taught, not just in like religion class,
right,
but like in the way that people were systematically to some point, like, you know, like on an assembly line, like let's just spout out like good Catholic citizens.
Right.
Rather than like, let's understand that people think and are different.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do we talk in a way that respects both viewpoints? So mm-hmm. I think I started to like resent my high school and just like that mindset. And so for me, it was like, I couldn't even like try to think about those questions. Cause it was just like, no, like you got the answer wrong. Cause there is an answer. Like
right.
We are looking for a specific answer rather than like, there are many ways to just, to be and to think. And so
yeah,
I think going to college is when I started to be like, no one is like, right, like math class, there's the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
But in other like areas of study or just thought, like there is not an absolute yes answer. And so
are there any absolutes for anything?
Not that I know of.
Me and Stav have been getting into philosophy, and I was listening to this podcast too, where this comedian TJ Miller, have you watched Silicon Valley?
Here and there.
Yeah. He's the curly headed, the plays Eric Bachman.
Okay.
But he's this really smart guy. He was interested in philosophy, and he was talking about Nietzsche said that the only absolute is beauty. And he has this joke about how even like the toughest dude can't look at a sunset without being like, that's fucking beautiful. like beauty is the true only absolute. And I don't know. Yeah. So I guess there's always another way to spin something, I guess is what you're saying.
There's always
another way to
look for
at
sure. Them. And that who people are and where they come from like shapes
mm-hmm.
their thought. And so it's much easier to understand that if you like find out
mm-hmm.
who those individuals are. So I think in college, like I was meeting people who were different and were
mm-hmm.
cool. Like not just different, but like, wow, that's, you're interesting and I want to hear more about that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I found individuals to like model, like, right. Like you think about the world in your own way
mm-hmm.
and you are cool if people don't agree, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change what your thought is. I think beforehand I was like a people pleaser as someone who like I said, like I played a lot of sports, not like the superstar athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So like getting to the group of the superstar athletes, like I just like took on their persona, like their jokes, like that
right.
type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's unique to people in high school who are figuring out who they are.
Yeah, I talked about that in one of my introductions, the idea of influence. When you're younger, you're just like taking in everything and you're like, yeah, I agree with that, or no, I don't agree with that. And it's if someone talks about something and the next time someone brings that topic up, you could even copy what that other person said that you liked, just adopt that as your own personal perspective.
Absolutely.
And then when you get to college, it's kind of like, maybe I am going to start trying to build my own unique foundation of belief of what I believe and what my opinions on things are.
Yeah.
And you do that by looking at someone being like, oh, I like what this guy's deal is. And I like, well, not so much that guy. I don't know if I jive with his way of thinking.
Right.
And you and like Klutz and Minniti were people like that for me. I was like, I like what's going on there. And I think that's how people kind of align with who their friends are in college. I think that's what a big importance of college is taking things from other people to help make who you are.
Right. And and then not being like a copy.
Yes.
But it being a component.
Yes. Yeah, I totally
agree.
But anyway, at the end of high school, so June of end of senior year of high school, what are DJ's thoughts of what college is going to be for him? What he wants out of it?
Yeah. So I didn't want to go to college.
Oh, really? Why
at
not?
All. I thought that it was a big waste of time.
Mm.
Because I wanted to work in the entertainment industry. And I initially wanted to be a casting agent for
TV,
for Broadway, whatever. I remember seeing like the producers and the casting crew for Friends
right.
be like, yeah, Jennifer Aniston read for Monica, but like we decided. And like how you find like potential in people.
Bring talent, and different talent
like,
together.
Yeah, bring it all together to make a product. Like I just thought that that was very cool. And I think I'm a creative person and I appreciate that, but I'm not like the artist who can do that, but I can appreciate and hopefully highlight other people's work. And so I wanted to like be able to do that. And I didn't look up this, but I was like, you don't need a college degree for that. So like me, I think as being someone who lived outside New York City, I was like, I could just go there mm-hmm. and like make it work. And if
sounds like you had it all figured out.
All figured out. Like, and then I literally was like, you know what? And if I have to like work on a food truck.
Right.
Which this is like pre, like I think the rise of food trucks. So I was thinking like street meat cart.
You're
like,
ahead of the curve.
I'll do it. Yeah, like a few
pre
months
the rise
if I
of
can.
Food trucks.
Yeah. And I also was very much someone that like I was doing it on my own. Like
right.
I thought that I wasn't getting help from my high school. I was just kind of we had like feeder schools, I think. And I don't think that that's maybe unique, but like you're.
What do you mean by that?
So my senior year guidance counselor would be like, this is where you are like academically.
Mm-hmm.
These would be great schools for you to apply to. Like,
oh,
you'll
right,
definitely
right.
get in. Like write the business of like, we send so many kids to college and this is how many dollars that our graduates get in all of that. And so I was like, I don't think you're like actually listening to what I
want.
Well, first I was like, I'm not gonna go.
I don't
go,
think you're so. Advising me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that you are copy and pasting what you said to someone else. So I was like, I have to do this on my own if I'm gonna go. Because my parents are pretty persistent, which I guess is lucky for me in the long run. They both went to college. And so like it was an expectation in their mind. Which isn't for everyone. And I was lucky enough that my parents were able to financially fund me to go to college. And so, but I was like, I have to do this on my own. So like I researched schools and I was like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go for musical theater. Like that is probably the only thing I would enjoy if being at college. And so like I applied to a bunch of schools across the country. And then after I did, it was told like, you're not going to go across the country. I was like, oh, okay, well.
By who, your parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I had gone into Pepperdine, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go.
Where's that?
It's in Malibu,
oh, wow.
California. And I was like, I'm going to go. Like, I'm totally going to go. And now looking at, like, Pepperdine's requirements, like, we wouldn't have meshed well, me and Pepperdine. It's like, just, well, Malibu has a town. Everything closes at 9 p.m.
What?
Like, shops and restaurants and things and, like, but it's part of the greater LA area, but like it's more of like
a day
for place? Adults and like, yeah, like they don't need like a nightlife. Pepperdine, there's like you have to go to church X number of times a semester.
Oh, wow.
And so like all these little things that I've have found out through the years since deciding, I was like, well, I don't know about all of that.
Yeah.
So
something was looking out for you.
Yeah.
Do that.
And I went to schools, I like went to colleges for auditions and like stayed there for a full weekend.
Oh, wow. So you're really
like
trying to do it.
Well, yeah. I figured like if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, where me
else
doing it.
Where else did you audition?
I auditioned at Emerson, Pace in Manhattan, Hartford.
Hart School of Music's a great school.
Yes. And
others.
Another. Yeah, one more.
One more.
And so anyway, like me doing it on my own, like was me not realizing how much work other people were putting into it, like beforehand. Like there are some people who have like done their thing.
Their whole life like, is to get to that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so going there and like
I'll just go
sweatpants and a t-shirt for like the dance part and everyone else is like in leotards, what they need to be. Tux. Yeah, for sure. And then they're yelling out words in French and I'm just looking around and trying to follow along.
Jeez.
Yeah. So after all of that, I eventually I didn't get into my first choice, which was Emerson. Pepperdine was my second, and that was a no. And then the other, like, three and four, it was like I got into the school, but not the program, but I could, like, reapply. And so it just, like, you know, fueled the fire even more of, like, I'm not going to do this now. Like, I'm not going to go. And my parents, like, you have to pick a place. Like, by May 1st, you have to decide. So I picked Quinnipiac for two reasons. One, I had someone who I was friends with in high school who went the year before me and said it was fun. And two, because they did shuttles to New Haven and I knew that I'd be able to go out.
Wow.
That's what I based my decision on. I like really didn't even look into a major. Nothing. It was so, looking back, it was just not the brightest decision I've ever made. And I was like, okay, I picked it, but I'm still not going to go.
Right.
And my parents were like, you can go, pick an orientation session, go. And then after that, at least you like have something that you can like make somewhat of an informed decision on. And then we'll be able to talk. And so I remember I like had to miss my last day of high school for orientation. And I was already mad about that because we had like planned pranks and like a after school like barbecue and
things
whatever.
That seemed like such a big deal. At
that time. Like I'm going to miss out so hard. It was before Snapchat. And so how was I to know what was going on?
Yeah. I won't be there.
Yeah. And
I don't even have Snapchat to tell
we
me.
We get there and it's raining. Oh, like it's pouring rain. And I pull up and there is this guy in a huge like 10 bucket gallon hat, like dancing, like the spotlight's on him at this late night club. And he was like, oh, just park over here. And then like 10 people like seized the car and like everyone had just so much energy.
Classic orientation.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, what? Like, what did I get myself into? Like no one talks about this, like when it comes to college. And
oh yeah, when you think college, that's not what you think your first experience is gonna be. People from that college swarming your car and embarrassing you.
Nope. Not even close. And I drove up with someone from my high school. And we ended up being the same group. So we had like randomized groups of everyone who was attending. And I was like, okay, cool. So like I have somewhat of a safety net since I'm not totally
someone
into
you
this.
Can go to and be like, is this bullshit?
Right. Yeah. Like, let's actually talk about all this crap that we have to go through. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what it sold you.
Totally. Like, set me up. And I like thinking back, like, when I went on my tour, I think it was like over a break or it was raining and like no one was around. Since I didn't like have a major in mind, like,
I didn't go to a school.
I didn't listen to, So, to actually like see people interact with one another and like see what the other students who would be there was like. It's like, wow, this would totally be a great place. So I was sold.
That was a big thing for me too, of like seeing like my orientation leader like interact with someone who was their friend, be like, wow, they seem like really close and like they have something cool going on. Maybe I could have a friend that like maybe I can make relationships like that.
Yeah. And I didn't have that with my orientation leaders. Like, I don't think they weren't like the most well-known people on staff.
I had Jeff Way, so.
Which, oh, good for you. but they were awesome. And like my group was like, got so close that I was like, these are the people that I would be friends with.
Right.
And like, we are all still friends. Like three of us are in the same fraternity and four of us became orientation leaders. Like we just, I don't know. We like went through college together, which was awesome.
Right. So when you got home from orientation, what were your thoughts then? Of, I want this summer to go by so quickly so I can get there. Or were you still?
No, I don't know. I still was like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think I was more ready because I knew everyone else was going mm-hmm. and I didn't want to be left out. Like, I think that's where my mindset changed is like, mm-hmm. I'm not going, I'm doing my own thing, forging my own path. And then I was like, I'm going to miss out on something that like my other friends are going to experience. Mm-hmm. And, like, that would suck. So I think I was ready. I wasn't like, get me there now, I'll move in today. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm ready for the fall when it comes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So we, you know, we talk about college experience a lot and like people always say different things about what they got out of it or why it was important to them, because you're someone now who's pursuing higher education, right?
Yeah, I work full time in it.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're not even pursuing, you're doing it.
Yeah.
I forgot. What are you, fraternity sorority for RAMPO?
Yep, I oversee all fraternities and sororities there.
That's crazy. You're that guy now.
Yeah. Yep.
That's so funny.
I'm that guy who now presents at orientation.
You're the Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. But anyway, so what was so good about the college experience for you that made you decide, I want to do this? I want to be a part of this for the next foreseeable future.
I think we talk about when we look at colleges, we're like, oh, like what can I do socially? That's what I've seen like mm-hmm. in the media. And then like, what's my major of study?
Mm-hmm.
Or if not one, like what am I going to pick eventually? But no one talks about the people that you'll interact with when you're there. Mm-hmm. And so that was, I think, the most transformational part for me is that I had experiences with people and met people who like changed my life and changed my like my thought process of the world and
changed
my perspective
you.
On things. Yeah. I think changed me and allowed me to like define who I was and
right.
be cool with it. Yeah. And just
in what way can you get deeper into that?
Yeah, for sure. I think I was someone who just cared a lot what people thought, and I was focusing on that more than focusing on myself. And so
mm-hmm.
I struggled with my sexual orientation for a long time. And it wasn't until, like I'd mentioned, like people are like, okay, like that's different than me, but it's cool. And like, I respect it. And once like I felt that.
What do you mean that's different than me? People being okay
like
with
like people
it?
Having different perspectives on things.
Right, right, right.
So when sexual orientation came into play, like sure, there'd be people who like probably weren't okay with it. And that's their opinion or their thought at that mm-hmm. point. But there were people who were like, okay, awesome. Like, I don't share that like sentiment or that commonality with you, but that's awesome that you, that's who you are. Mm-hmm. I respect that. And I think for the first time, like that was where I got to an environment where like that was not just the thought of one person, but like the thought of a good group mm-hmm. enough for me to like feel comfortable with it and maneuver mm-hmm. with it and identify with it on the day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the most like poignant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than that, just like being okay with where I stand on certain things. And like, if there are things that I find important and want to stand for, like
people who validate you.
Yeah.
And people who kind of identify with you and people who look at you as someone whose thoughts have worth.
Yeah. And looking back, like, it wasn't like I didn't have those people, but mm-hmm. I don't think I ever let those people in. Whereas, like, college is, like, when I mm-hmm. allowed myself to, like, go back down to ground zero and, like, figure it out and, like, mm-hmm. allow people to, like, be part of me figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found to be really helpful.
Yeah. So then you're like, I just want to... When in the college experience, you're like, did you start to decide that maybe higher education was something you wanted to go to graduate school for?
Kind of like right away,
yeah.
Actually. So I...
You saw people like DB and Aaron who were our advisors and you're like, oh, people could do this as a job.
And I didn't even like put two and two together that it could be a job
yeah.
until like I had a conversation with Aaron who oversaw the orientation leaders. I eventually became an orientation leader. And it was funny, I applied to be an orientation leader and applied to transfer from Quinnipiac at the same time and got my OL acceptance before...
Wow.
Yeah.
You applied for transfer at the end of freshman year?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you do that?
I had friends, but they weren't like not the people that are like making you better. Like they were the people that like I would text on Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday and then
wow,
like
all freshman year. Just,
yeah.
So orientation saved you.
So yeah.
That didn't that click of why this college experience is so great definitely didn't happen right away.
I think it was like a, no, it was like a quick flame with orientation. And then like it got into like the real world, like the semester and like how people are. And I just, I think got into some habits that probably weren't like the most beneficial or healthy.
What, like drinking?
Yeah, like a lot. Because I thought that's what college kids did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I had no idea that people drink and like totally fine.
Have fun.
I drank too. But not everyone does, and not everyone does it like every night and like in excess and like. So I just like
up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. and they get home and they're like, "Let's keep doing this."
Yeah, like and I don't know where in my head that came from, but I was like, "That's what it means to be in college, to like struggle through staying awake in your classes, like because that's haha funny, like I fooled you, professor." And then like each night it's like sneaking like or. Going to the cafeteria and buying like 4 Gatorades and being like, "Oh, I know what I'm using this for." Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
2 to mix and 2 to save myself the next morning. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I think that that's where I was. And I wasn't finding like fulfillment anywhere else in college. Like, the hangovers faded, thankfully.
Yeah.
And like all those other good times like faded. And I was like, I'm not really left with much. And so I looked back to getting back into the arts at a different school. But then I became an orientation leader. And I think I found the people on campus who I was like, this is who I want to spend time with. And these are people I want to be more like. And I really had to put myself out there to do that. And I think that's kind of where my mindset changed, is like, don't wait for things to happen to you. Like if you want change or there's certain things that you want, you have to go for it and get them. So that kind of sparked me getting involved and getting to hang out with these people more often. It's what made me go Greek eventually, which is now the field that I work in. I got involved, I met better people, I changed roommates, kind of like all the little things that I think make every day fun in college. I focused on, rather than like the once a month, like, great party that you went to.
Yeah. So I guess what the thesis would be, and the reason I ask that is because there's people who listen to this who are still in college and are still going through that process. And it's hard because, like you said, some of those experiences where you're just, you know, you go out and you go to Toads or you go to any club and then you have that fun, that experience is transient. Like, the importance it has towards you, meaning like, oh, that was a lot of fun, but like in a year, I'm not going to remember what that was.
Right.
What you're going to remember is the experience that you had with another person. So just as much going out and having fun is important, it's more important to make sure that you make the relationships that come together outside of those experiences, so that when you do have those experiences with those people, that's what makes them memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember that time we missed the shuttle and we were in New Haven to 3:30. We were in New Haven to 4 a.m., but I was with you. So we talked about this and this and this. You don't remember that you were at Toad's the like 4 hours before that and you had like 12 shots of Jägermeister and you had no idea what the fuck was going on. You remember who you shared that experience with.
Right.
So I guess the thesis is make sure you build enough relationships and open up yourself enough to people so that there's something to remember something with.
Or right. Yeah. And if you have to take the initiative to do that,
there's someone to remember something with. Jeez, it's a mouthful. Okay. Yeah. If you're afraid to do that, then do it.
Yeah. Just go for it. And you'll be much more thankful in the long run. Mm-hmm. But you can get just as much out of people as they can get out of you. And once you realize that it's a mutually beneficial relationship, if you're in the right ones, then it's awesome.
Yeah. So you graduated college.
I did.
Did you apply right? Did you apply while you were still in college?
For grad school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went the fall. We just had the summer.
Yeah. I was applying throughout my senior year to pick a grad degree. And part of it was just because a lot of schools, you need a master's degree to have a position in higher ed and working with students. And so I was like, why wait? Like, I
know what I want to do.
And if I don't go right away, like, I might not go.
Right.
And I think that's where my mindset was, where some people are like, have to take some time off and like come back. But I was like, if I'm going to have to keep writing papers and go to class, like I just want to plow through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so kind of similar process to college. Like, in my opinion, I did it a lot on my own, mm-hmm. Applied all across the country. And this time I only got into programs in California. So I was like,
going,
hey, mom and dad, remember when you said I couldn't? Well, I'm going now.
Because I have to.
Yeah. And for me, grad school was an additional opportunity. So it was something that I would be financially funding and responsible for. And so
mm-hmm.
kind of with that, like looking at rent and potential jobs while you're in school and mm-hmm. kind of all that. So I ended up going to University of the Pacific mm-hmm. in Stockton, California for my grad program.
How close is that to San Fran?
Like an hour and 20 minutes north.
Oh, wow.
Of San Francisco.
I thought it was closer. So you didn't? No. Were you in San Fran much? Did you go there at all?
Probably like once every 2 months.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's kind of like the city. Like you can take transportation in.
Yeah. How was that there?
It's great.
So really,
San Francisco.
You like it?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were giving a bad look.
Mm-mm.
Something I heard. I forget what podcast it was, but something I heard was the cultural identity of people who live in San Francisco is one of people not necessarily being proud of and loving San Francisco, but more so being proud of themselves for living in San Francisco. Like, we're here. We made it here. I don't know what that means, but I don't know if you could identify with that. Or you probably didn't spend enough time there to maybe get that.
Yeah, I don't think I would share that thought, but I could see, you know, and the people I interacted with, like that they
all were all about the fact that they lived there.
Yeah,
for well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's got. What about it did you like?
It's pretty neighborhoody, and I think that it felt more that way than Manhattan because like each neighborhood kind of looked different. Whereas when you're on the grid, like yeah, certain awnings can look differently, but you like felt that you were kind of in a different place,
right?
The weather, it's very nice. But like not too hot. Like there's always a breeze, which is awesome. And I think the people, like it was very much like we are coexisting. Like we could be completely different. Like taking the bus there, like someone could be two rows ahead of me, like smoking a joint. Someone could be three behind me, like reading the Bible, and like everyone's just
cool
to themselves. Like, yeah, because I just think that there was a high level of respect, and I hadn't experienced that before.
Wow. So, Stockton, how long were you there? In the College of the Pacific, University of the Pacific?
Yeah.
How long was that? Just
two
a year?
Years.
2 years?
Yep.
What was that a smooth thing the whole time, or you're like, why am I on the other side of this country? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Was it a hard adjustment of not knowing anyone over there, or not knowing anything about that type of place? You're an East Coast guy. What was that adjustment like?
So again, like, gosh, I like really developed patterns. Like, didn't look up the school at all. I was lucky enough to my supervisor at Pacific. Mm-hmm. I met at a conference when I was in college.
You researched Ramapo before you applied there, right?
Yes. Yep. Did a good amount. And so I just kind of went. Like, I got my offer the beginning of July, and I had to move out July 20th.
What, that you go to the grad school?
Yeah, that I was, like, fully accepted into the program and had a job and, like, was ready to move in. So I kind of went, and luckily my program was cohort style. And so I would be taking classes with the same people throughout my 2 years. And most of us had a graduate assistantship on campus.
Oh.
And then even a smaller portion of us were resident directors, so lived in residence halls or
like
fraternity
RHD
and sorority
kinda?
Housing. Yeah, like Quinnipiac's RHD.
Mm-hmm.
There were 9 of us in total.
The people who oversee the RAs?
Yes.
Like the boss of the specific.
Yeah, and so when I came to Pacific, like I came the day before our training for that position started. So like right away, I was like in with a group of people who were like either all new like me or were returning. That was kind of nice to just meet people right away rather than
be thrust into a situation where you're forced to kind of.
Yeah, or like really realize, like, wow, I'm on the other side of the country.
Right, right, right.
Like, I think I realized that a few weeks later, but I was just kind of in the day-to-day. Like, I would have training during the day, and then in the afternoon or evening, I would, like, go to Target and get things for my apartment, mm-hmm. or, like, go out to eat. And so I was just, I felt like I was doing normal things. Mm-hmm. And then my friends who were just outside of college, and like I had a good amount that moved to New York City or just outside, and a good amount that moved to Boston or just outside. And so obviously you still want to see your college friends. And so they would all hang out. And that's when I would be like, oh, I'm on the other coast, like 3 hours.
That's where Snapchat comes in handy.
Yeah. Snapchat again. Yeah, so I think that was the tough part, is like, yeah, yeah. I just...
So far away from everyone I know.
Right. I went home for Christmas each year.
And that was it.
And that was it. I also worked it out that I... So I did get to go home for Thanksgiving too, only because the week after was a conference I had to go to.
Oh.
And it was cheaper for me to go from New York to the conference, so that's why they let me go home for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
But so... We obviously talked about how college can change you. How would you say you, coming out of that 2 year experience, you were different, or how did that have a different effect on you? The grad school experience, similar to how the undergrad experience had an effect on you.
When I was at Pacific, I was able to take what I was learning in class and like use it in the job. And Pacific does a really good job on focusing on social identities and inclusion, and on how the education system either promotes or intentionally or unintentionally prohibits people from accessing their education.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, that's where both systems and storytelling came into play when like working with individuals. And so, yes, like someone's in college that I'm working with, but like, I don't really know how they got here. Like, there are students I work with who are first generation. I worked with international students. I work with students whose parents make a hell of a lot of money. And like, mm-hmm. so how those individuals like work together and figure out how they're similar and how they're different and how they can make meaning of being in college.
You kind of were able to oversee all that.
Yeah, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then just too, like how a college is accepting, right? Like, do we have elevators or access for people in who need, you know, physical accommodations,
right,
in every building so that they can take whatever class they want to or be in any building? Do we have gender neutral bathrooms? In my office, I work with someone who is gender queer and part of the transgender community. And so coming to the table for some conversations, they brought up things that I probably wouldn't have thought about beforehand. And now I consider when I am out or when I am working or at a restaurant or like anywhere in public, and even how some of my conversations, like the words I choose to use or the way I talk about certain things, I think about that more. So I think that it really just helped me in all senses of the term be a good person.
Wow.
Like a purposefully good person, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because instead of where in the undergrad experience, you're kind of firsthand, it was more of a focus on you and how you are a part of this experience that everyone else is sharing. But in the grad school experience, is kind of like got to oversee and how the experience was affecting other students. And you were kind of, because you worked with undergrad students, so, right? Those are the students you were talking about.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to look at what the experience that you just had a year ago was from like an outside eye, like, oh, I remember that. And then maybe that in turn will have a different effect on you, instead of being a part of it, kind of being able to take an outside perspective of it. You kind of maybe pick up more on it as a whole instead of what your place in it is.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's why I got into the field, is that I didn't know that that was possible in college. Like that was something that I would be able to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it did so much for me that like, what if it could do that, or I could do that for someone else?
Mm.
I think is what's been kind of the driving force for me to do that.
Mm-hmm. So how long when you graduated and came back, you came directly back to New York, how long was the application process before you got to RAMPO?
My grad assistant was up at the end of May, and so was my apartment. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a lot to juggle in the air while I was job searching. So mm-hmm. I moved back right before Memorial Day this year.
Of 2015?
2015. Oh, yeah. So last year. Yeah. And I had started the job search process in February.
Right.
And just a lot of things that just didn't end up working out.
Right.
For various reasons. And so I was searching through November.
Wow.
Yeah. So in
that was just a lot of like ups and downs of like, and, oh, maybe this will work out.
Yeah, like I would have some things bite, and then I was lucky enough to go to a lot of like final round interviews, and then I think it was just like,
yeah,
is it working relationship wise, and is what I can provide what you need right at this time, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And so I think a lot of that, like how the puzzle comes together, wasn't really matching up mm-hmm. for some people. And when I came back and I was able to kind of like have the summer back in New York, and I was, because I had went straight from undergrad to grad school, and I didn't really have that downtime summer
that some people could have, where people kind of just recharge their batteries.
Yeah.
Your headspace was like, all right, now we got to go on to this next thing.
Right. And so now I was like, I want that. Like, yeah, I want to have that. I want to be able to, on the weekend or every weekend, like be able to go and see my friends and like, mm-hmm. have a good time and be able to like hang out, because it wasn't an opportunity I had for 2 years. So that kind of narrowed my search regionally the more that I was doing that.
Right.
So as the fall came, I was more looking at jobs in the greater New York area than I was looking for the type of job I originally wanted when I started the process.
Because you wanted to stay a bit around here.
Yeah, because I really valued being closer to my family, closer to my friends, mm-hmm. in New York, which I think is a great city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, luckily I'm in the fields, like functional area, fraternity and sorority life that I wanted to be in from the start. But the process kind of made me question some things along the way. Like, what are really the things that I want in a job? What am mm-hmm. I okay losing? Is this even something I want to keep doing? Or was I just on a 6 year, you know, like term of enjoyment versus like the 4 years in college. So those are all questions I thought about throughout the process. And I mean, luckily I'm doing what I want to be doing right now. And
yeah. So how's it going?
Enjoying it. It's good. It's definitely a different environment than either of the schools I'd been at before.
Mm-hmm. I know some people who go there.
Oh
yeah.
It's funny.
A lot of people from my town go there.
A meeting with someone like 2 weeks ago, and he was like, I played basketball against you like in middle school. I was like, oh my God, you did. Like,
wait,
he
goes there now?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's just younger than you?
Yeah, I'm not sure or like what happened throughout his time, but he's, yeah, it was like very
extreme.
So that's like the other thing now is like being not in California and being like closer to home. Like, I have people who like transferred in and like were friends with my brother from their first school,
right?
Or like grew up with my brother's girlfriend, and so like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
much fewer degrees of separation now,
right,
which is kind of cool, but yeah, it's good, just kind of learning a lot. So I started mid-December, I like started when finals week started,
oh wow,
and then had my first month of like pretty quiet campus,
mm-hmm.
and then it was like all steams ahead. I don't even know what that phrase is. That's not it. All steams ahead.
I don't know. I don't know if I know.
Engines go. Like, that's what it was. And so kind of just playing survival mode to some extent now, and just making sure that the semester goes well. And then seeing it. I'm someone who like likes to see things play out and then be able to be like, oh, that over there needs to get tweaked, or mm-hmm. we could do this part better. But until I can see it, I won't be able to like really think about that. So that's kind of what I've been doing this semester, and then take the summer to rethink some things.
Cool. Well, so we usually end with hopes for the future. Personal, professional, short term, long term. That was very vague, but fill in the blanks.
Just what are all of them? I hope to continue working in this field for a few years. I think that when it's done right, and it's not always done right, but when it's done right, fraternity and sorority life is one of the best things that can be on a college campus. And mm-hmm. so that's a bold statement, and there's a lot of work that has to be done to get to that place. So I think that's what's exciting for me. Personal, I would like to be in a place where I can have fun, gain hobbies, like find a good group of friends. Not that I need a new one, but like mm-hmm. depending on where I end up regionally, like to have that support system. Long term though, I want to own a bar or a restaurant.
No way.
Yeah. And I was toying with making the switch this past summer when things were kind of up in the air, and like I was looking at like wineries and like working for a winery and like not necessarily be part of the winemaking process, but like when people come in for tastings and things like that.
Where did that originate, that desire?
The restaurant thing?
I don't think I've ever heard you express that.
It's been like a little hope and dream for a while. Mm-hmm. I am an avid foodie. Network person.
Mm.
And I say I'm a foodie, but I still am kind of a picky eater. So I don't know if I would give myself that term. But I just think there's a lot. And so like being an orientation leader or working in a customer service type thing, like I like to provide a great experience for someone. And like usually when you go out to a restaurant or to a bar, it's because you want to have a positive experience. Mm-hmm. No one like wants to go and have like shitty food and like be served by an asshole and like waste their money. And so to be able to do that for people is awesome. And so I think for me, wine is the thing that people use more to celebrate.
Mm.
Like, yes, some people will come home after a long day and have a glass of wine, but like some people who've had a crappy day would rather have like a Budweiser or like whiskey on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's like a birthday or an anniversary or insert cool accomplishment, like people would like, let's open a cool bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. And like it's something where you can like sip and enjoy and like have it be an experience rather than just throw it
something
back.
Something that's
and,
transient.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. Wow.
Exactly.
All ties together.
It does, because I'm the same person.
You are the one I've been talking to this whole time, and only you. Well, I'm glad that you are the one I've been talking to, Deej. I appreciate you coming here, taking that trip to that hour drive that I thought was less than that to get here to see me.
It's all right.
I'm glad I got to know more about someone that I look up to and admire. So thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me. This is pretty cool.
All right. Thanks, man. Okay. That is it. That is my conversation with DJ Mahoney. Thank you, DJ, for coming on and, for talking about what makes you, you, and for showing the importance of being comfortable with what makes you, you. Appreciate you doing that. Thank you to everyone who's listened. Thank you to all the people who have... to anyone who's... This is the first episode. Go back and listen to some of the other ones. They're just as good, I think. Not to pat myself on the back. Not to, you know, toot my own horn. Not to other expressions that I can't remember. But, yeah. Do that. But thank you for listening to this one. And, I'll have another episode next week. Please leave a, please share it. Share this. Leave a rating and a review on iTunes. Helps to gain more exposure on iTunes if people do that. So, thank you for everyone again who's listened, and I'll talk to you next week.